You might think you know grass. It's what you mow on Saturdays, it's what your dog rolls in, and maybe what you see whenever you head to the golf course. But what if I told you that grass has shaped the world we live in more profoundly than any other plant? Grass isn't just something we mow, it's a keystone species that has shaped ecosystems and human history in profound ways. From the extinction of the dinosaurs to the rise of agriculture, from the migrations of nomadic people to the dust storms that ravaged a nation, grass has been at the center of some of the most pivotal moments in Earth's history. It's been the silent architect of civilizations, the driving force behind revolutions, and the unsung hero of ecosystems. This isn't just about lawns or fields. It is a story of survival, dominance, and the hidden power of a plant we often take for granted. I'm Megan Brame, and on this episode of The History of Plants, we're going to dig deep into the dramatic history of grass, revealing its surprising role in shaping our planet and our lives. So let's uncover the secrets of this seemingly humble plant and explore the grasslands, a story of survival. Part one, when giants fell. To truly understand the power of grass, we need to travel back in time, way back. Imagine Earth long before humans, a world dominated by giants. Dinosaurs roamed the land, massive ferns and towering conifers conquered the continents. And grasses, well, they were there, but they really weren't the stars of the show. They were just humble, unassuming plants clinging to the edge of forests, slowly spreading and biding their time. This was the Cretaceous period, roughly 100 million years ago. Grasses as we know them were just beginning their evolutionary journey. Unsurprisingly, they looked different then and perhaps not as recognizable as the lush lawns and waving fields we see today. But within these early grasses lay the seeds of their future dominance. They were developing unique adaptations, like wind pollination, that allowed them to spread their pollen far and wide, and producing silica in their leaves, which made them tough and resistant to grazing. But the real turning point for grasses came with a cataclysmic event, the extinction of the dinosaurs. Around 66 million years ago, a massive asteroid slammed into the Earth, wiping out these giants and causing widespread devastation. But in the ashes of this destruction, an opportunity arose. The dinosaurs were gone, leaving behind vast landscapes ripe for the taking, and grasses, with their resilience, adaptability, and unique traits, were perfectly poised to seize the moment. This marked the beginning of the rise of grasslands. During the Paleogene and Neogene periods, grasses spread rapidly across the globe, transforming the planet's ecosystems. This expansion was fueled by climate change, with drier conditions favoring the growth of grasses over forests. And grasses themselves played a role in this climate shift, evolving a crucial advantage, C4 photosynthesis. Briefly, all plants use photosynthesis to turn sunlight into energy, but C4 photosynthesis is a specialized version. It's sort of like an evolutionary upgrade. It allows grasses to be incredibly efficient in hot, dry conditions, allowing them to thrive where other plants would struggle, quickly pulling in carbon dioxide and minimizing water loss. The extinction of the dinosaurs was obviously a dramatic moment in Earth's history, and it was also the turning point for grasses, becoming the catalyst that propelled them from their humble beginnings to global dominance. And it's this story of survival and adaptation that laid the foundation for the profound impact grasses would have on human civilization. Part two, seeds of civilization. So grasses had conquered the world. They were everywhere, transforming landscapes, creating vast grasslands that stretched as far as the eye could see. And then something extraordinary happened. Humans entered the picture. And the relationship between humans and grasses would change everything. For millennia, humans were hunter-gatherers, moving with the seasons, following herds, and foraging for food. But then, around 12,000 years ago, something shifted. In a region known as the Fertile Crescent, a revolution began. A revolution driven by grass. Wild grasses, to be precise. These weren't just any grasses. They were the ancestors of our modern cereal crops like wheat, barley, rice, and corn. Humans began to notice something remarkable about them. These wild grasses produced seeds that were not only edible, but were easily stored. They began to cultivate these grasses, planting them, tending them, and harvesting their seeds. This was the birth of agriculture, the Neolithic Revolution, and it changed everything. Think about it. Suddenly, humans weren't dependent on the whims of nature. They could control their own food supply. They could settle in one place, build permanent homes, and establish communities, leading to the rise of villages, then towns, and then cities. The population grew, societies became more complex, and civilizations were born, all thanks to the humble grass seed. But this wasn't just about food. Grasses also provided raw materials for clothing, shelter, and tools. They became woven into the fabric of human life. And as agriculture spread, so did the influence of grasses. Wheat and barley moved west, rice and millet east, corn across the Americas. Grasses became the foundation of human societies, shaping our diets, our cultures, and our destinies. This dramatic shift from hunter-gatherer to farmer, driven by the domestication of grasses, was obviously a pivotal moment in human history, and it was a turning point that set us on the path to the world that we know today. But the story of grass and humans isn't just about settled agriculture. Vast grasslands also played a crucial role in shaping nomadic cultures, those societies that moved with the herds following the rhythms of the land. Just imagine the vast steppes of Central Asia stretching for thousands of miles. These grasslands were home to nomadic groups like the Scythians, the Huns, and later the Mongols. For these people, grass was life. It provided the forage for their livestock, which were the people's primary sources of food, of clothing, and of transportation. These nomadic cultures were masters of grasslands. They understood the delicate balance of the ecosystem, moving their herds to prevent overgrazing, utilizing their knowledge of seasonal changes to find the best pastures. They were skilled horsemen, formidable warriors, and expert traders, their lives deeply intertwined with the rhythms of grass. And their impact on settled civilizations was profound. These nomadic groups often clashed with agricultural societies, raided their settlements, disrupting their trade routes, and even conquering their territories. The steppe nomads in particular played a significant role in shaping the course of history, with their movements and conquests influencing the rise and fall of empires. Part 3, coming to America. Now let's fast forward to a different time and place. Colonial America. While grasslands were shaping nomadic empires in Asia, a different relationship with grass was emerging in the New World. It wasn't just about vast pastures or nomadic herds, it was about lawns. Yes, lawns. Those meticulously manicured patches of green that surround our homes. But lawns weren't always part of the American landscape. They were a European import and were a symbol of wealth and status. Think of the grand estates of England or France with these sprawling, perfectly trimmed lawns. This was a look that colonists aspired to. But creating a lawn in the rugged terrain of colonial America was no easy feat. It required clearing land, removing trees and rocks, and carefully cultivating the right types of grasses. And it wasn't just about aesthetics. It was also about social standing. A well-maintained lawn signaled that you had the time and resources to devote to something other than basic survival. At the heart of this early lawn obsession, we find the town of Ipswich, Massachusetts. This seemingly quiet colonial town became a crucible of lawn culture. In the 17th century, the wealthiest settlers of Ipswich began to carve out enclosed pastures, or commons, from the surrounding forests. But these commons weren't for grazing livestock. They were grand communal lawns that were meticulously maintained and fiercely guarded. Imagine the scene. These vast emerald expanses were such a stark contrast to the surrounding wilderness and were a testament to the settlers' ambition and their relentless pursuit of control. These spaces weren't just functional, though. They were statements. They were symbols of community pride, social prestige, and a defiant assertion of dominance over the untamed landscape. Ipswich, in its own way, became the birthplace of the American lawn.
I'm cutting in here real quick to let you know a little fun fact I learned while I was editing. Ipswich is also the birthplace of the lawnmower. Apparently, in 1902, Ransoms of Ipswich invented the first known gas-powered mower. So just adding a little bit of that lawn history. Fun fact. Tidbits. Back to the video.
Setting a precedent that would spread like wildfire across the expanding colonies. And as America pushed westward, the concept of the lawn spread with it, becoming deeply ingrained in the nation's psyche. But it wasn't just about mimicking European styles. It was also about asserting the absolute control over the land, transforming the wilderness into a tamed and civilized, for lack of a better phrase, space. the lawn became a potent symbol of the American dream, a sign of prosperity, success, and the relentless drive to conquer the natural world. However, this seemingly innocent pursuit of the perfect lawn also had a darker side. It represented a shift in the relationship between humans and nature, a move away from living in harmony with the land towards dominating and controlling it. It set the stage for future conflicts over land use and resources, particularly as the nation pushed westward into the vast grasslands of the Great Plains, where a far more dramatic confrontation with grass was about to unfold. Part 4, Dust and Destiny. As America pushed west, the seemingly innocent pursuit of the perfect lawn took on a far more aggressive form. The vast, beautiful, untouched grasslands of the Great Plains, once home to thriving Native American tribes and immense herds of bison, became the next battleground, a battleground where native grasses would meet their demise. For centuries, tribes like the Cheyenne, Arapaho, and Sioux had adapted their cultures and livelihoods to the rhythms of the grasslands, their lives intricately linked to the land. But the relentless westward expansion of settlers, driven by the ideology of manifest destiny and the lure of resources like gold, shattered this delicate balance, replacing native grass ecosystems with fields of shallow-rooted cereal crops. The U.S. government, through broken treaties and military force, systematically displaced Native American tribes from their ancestral lands. Brutal conflicts erupted, leaving scars that remain to this day. The Sandy Creek Massacre, the Battle of Little Bighorn, and the Wounded Knee Massacre are tragic reminders of the violence inflicted upon Native American communities as they fought to defend their homelands and their way of life. This forced displacement, though, wasn't just about human tragedy. It was an ecological disaster that started with the destruction of grass. The relentless plowing of native grass ecosystems to make way for agriculture, combined with overgrazing by livestock, stripped the land of its natural resilience. The deep root systems of the native grasses that held the soil for millennia were destroyed and were being replaced with these shallow-rooted crops, leaving the ground vulnerable. The wind that once blew across these amazing seas of native grasslands now whipped up clouds of topsoil, and this marked the beginning of a devastating ecological shift, culminating with the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, a stark warning of the consequences of disrupting the delicate balance of grassland ecosystems, a balance fundamentally built on the strength of native grasses. But this devastation wasn't confined to the American West. Across the globe, similar tragedies were unfolding. In the vast Russian steppes, the Soviet Union's forced collectivization of agriculture had equally devastating consequences. Driven by the ideology of rapid industrialization and centralized control, the Soviet government sought to transform traditional agricultural practices. They believed that large-scale collective farms would be way more efficient and more productive than individual peasant farms. As a result, traditional pastoral practices honed over centuries were systematically destroyed. Farmers were forced into collective farms, livestock was seized, and the land was subjected to unsustainable farming methods. And this led to widespread overgrazing, soil degradation, and ultimately famine. Like the Dust Bowl, the collectivization of the Roman steppes served as a stark reminder of the dangers of imposing a rigid, unsustainable system on delicate grassland ecosystems. Part 5, Roots of Resilience. The Dust Bowl and the collectivization of the steppes were stark warnings, but unfortunately, the lessons weren't fully heeded. Today, grass-dominated ecosystems around the world face a multitude of challenges, threatening their delicate balance and the vital services they provide. Modern agriculture, with its emphasis on intensive farming and monoculture crops, continues to take a toll on grassland communities. Vast tracts of land...
She's got huge tracts!
No. Just... no. Once covered with diverse native grasses, are converted into cropland, often planted with a single species of corn or wheat, leading to habitat loss and fragmentation. The heavy use of fertilizers and pesticides pollutes the soil and water, harming the diverse array of plant and animal life that relies on these grass ecosystems. And the relentless pursuit of higher yields often leads to unsustainable practices that deplete soil fertility and increase erosion, stripping away the very foundation for which these grass ecosystems thrive. Now, I've already mentioned this, the Dust Bowl, a stark, devastating example of what happens when we ignore the delicate balance of grass-dominated ecosystems. But the Dust Bowl wasn't just a fleeting moment of hardship. It left a lasting legacy and forced a national reckoning with the unsustainable farming practices that had stripped the vital grass cover from the Great Plains. But it's not all bad. It led to the creation of the Soil Conservation Services, now the National Resources Conservation Service, which pioneered new techniques for soil conservation and land management, focusing on restoring and maintaining healthy grass ecosystems. And spurred a shift towards more sustainable agriculture, emphasizing crop rotation, contour plowing, and windbreaks, all aimed at protecting and rebuilding the vital grass cover and soil fertility. The Dust Bowl, if you think about it, became a powerful symbol of the need to respect the land and the grass that sustains it, a reminder that our actions have consequences that can ripple through generations. Climate change adds another layer of complexity. Rising temperatures, changing rainfall patterns, and more frequent extreme weather events are disrupting grass ecosystems, making them more vulnerable to drought, wildfires, and invasive species that outcompete native grasses. This is especially true in arid and semi-arid regions, where even small changes in climate can have significant impacts on the survival of native grass species. But despite these challenges, there's a growing recognition on the importance of grassland conservation and the protection of grasses that form them. Grass-dominated ecosystems play a crucial role in sequestering carbon, with grass roots being able to store vast amounts of carbon, helping to mitigate climate change. They also produce a rich diversity of plant and animal life, provide vital ecosystem services like water filtration and soil stabilization through complex grass root systems, and contribute to the livelihoods of millions of people. But before you start thinking this is all doom and gloom, conservation efforts are underway in many parts of the world. Restoration projects are working to rehabilitate degraded grasslands, reintroduce native grass species, and promote sustainable grazing practices that mimic natural grassland ecosystems. Protected areas are being established to safeguard the remaining grasslands and their biodiversity. Farmers and ranchers are adopting more sustainable land management techniques, like rotational grazing and no-till farming, to reduce their impact on the environment and maintain healthy grass growth. The future of grass-dominated ecosystems depends on our ability to learn from the past and embrace a more sustainable approach, because they are a symbol of interconnectedness of the human societies and natural ecosystems that work together to protect these vital landscapes and the grasses that form them for future generations.
Part 6.
An enduring green legacy. Looking ahead, the future of grasses and the ecosystems they support hinge on our ability to adapt and innovate. Climate change, habitat loss, and unsustainable agricultural practices continue to pose significant threats, but there are lots of reasons for optimism. Scientists are developing new varieties of grasses that are more resilient to drought, heat, and other climate-related stresses. These advances could play a crucial role in ensuring food security and maintaining healthy grasslands in a changing world. Regenerative agriculture, which is a system that focuses on building soil health and biodiversity, is also gaining momentum. This approach emphasizes practices like cover cropping, rotational grazing, and reduced tillage, all of which help restore degraded grasslands and sequester carbon. Technology is also playing a key role. Remote sensing, drone technology, AI, and data analytics are helping us monitor grassland ecosystems, track changes in vegetation cover, and identify areas in need of restoration. And all of this wealth of data is so important because it helps inform conservation efforts and guide sustainable land management practices. And even in our own backyards, we're seeing a shift. While the beautiful emerald green manicured lawn has played a significant role in our history, there is a growing awareness for the need for more sustainable landscaping. Homeowners are increasingly opting for native grasses and diverse plantings that require less water and maintenance, creating habitats for pollinators and supporting local ecosystems. I want to specify that this shift doesn't diminish the historical importance of lawns or grasses. It simply reflects our evolving understanding of how to live in harmony with the land. But, I mean, perhaps the most important factor in the future of grasses is our awareness. As we become more aware of the vital role they play in our lives and the health of our planet, we're more likely to make informed choices that support their conservation. From the food we eat to the air we breathe, grasses are essential to our well-being and way more fascinating than you probably thought, or at least way more fascinating than I originally thought. By embracing these sustainable practices, supporting conservation efforts, and fostering a deeper appreciation for these remarkable plants, we can ensure that grasslands continue to thrive for generations to come. The future of grasses, in many ways, is the future of our planet. From its humble beginnings as unassuming plants in the age of dinosaurs to their global dominance as the foundation for civilizations, grasses have woven themselves into the very fabric of our planet. They have shaped our diets, our cultures, and our destinies. They've been like the silent architects of empires and the unsung heroes of survival. I'm Megan Brahm. Thank you for joining me on another episode of The History of Plants. Jump into the commentary episode on Patreon or check out the video version of this episode on my YouTube channel, Plantrums. Until next time, greenies, stay curious and don't forget to flourish.